Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos. And guys, this is episode 53, part 2, Creative Deal Structuring and Negotiations. If you haven't listened to episode 52, go back and listen to that. Otherwise, this episode probably won't make much sense to you. But I hope you guys really enjoy this. We do these kind of episodes so that hopefully you guys can follow along with us and you can start to practice creative financing as we run through these numbers. So I would highly suggest you take the time to sit down with a pen, paper, and a calculator and just run through the numbers with us, because again, this is great practice, and the only way you're going to learn creative financing is by running through the numbers. So guys, enjoy, and thanks so much for listening. We're going to jump right back into where we left off. Here we go.
So I came up with one other offer. So this is kind of my proprietary offer. I'm not going to really explain it. It's just going to confuse people. Okay. But I'll tell you how I created it. So I offered $150,000, which I still think is a super good price. I offered $138,000. Hey, you want this done quick? If you hang on for a little bit, we'll get you all your money. Or $133,100. Want to be done with it quickly? Let's be done.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my top offer. It's $158,000. So, in his mind, like full retail for a rental.
Yeah.
$7,000 down. How did I come up with that?
You just guessed.
I did. I want to keep it low.
Okay.
So less than 5% if possible. 5%-ish. Okay. A monthly payment. I came up with $750 a month. Okay. What did we think that the subordination payment would be?
$733.
But it was $633 principal and interest. So this one's considerably more. So taxes were $77 a month. So why am I offering even more now? I mean, if $750 principal and interest, and we got to still add another $100, this thing only rents for $950. We're already into it for $850.
Are you looking to sell it to a owner-occupant?
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
So we had to kind of think outside the box here for a second.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I'm looking at doing.
That's
now
why you want the down payment to be
so
low.
Let's think about this for a second. Okay. So if we take $158,000 purchase price and we minus $7,000 down payment, how much are we asking the seller to finance? 151.
Right.
Right. Let's. What would be the payment on 4.5% interest, amortized over 30 years?
I don't have that.
151.
Okay. One second. Let me pull that up.
Okay.
$151, 4.5, 30 years.
Yep.
Monthly payment $765.09.
What about 4%?
4%. Calculate $720.
Okay, and what about 5%?
$810.
Okay, so we're in the ballpark of what someone would pay. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I did here, and the reason that I did this is that I'm always trying to think, how can I make it easier for my buyer? Now I'm looking for an owner-occupant, okay? Which I might not need to. I could probably still sell this particular offer to an investor. Now, it would have to be a sophisticated investor. It'd have to be someone that understood how to use this. Because what I'm doing is I'm offering close to what the mortgage payment should be on a 4%, 4.5%-ish interest rate, right? But I'm offering 2.5% interest, and I'm going to calculate it as simple interest. So I'm not amortizing it.
Okay.
I'm just paying interest based on the balance that's owed. So basically 2.5% on $151,000.
So there's no principal pay down on that?
No, there is. Because if you think about it, how did I come up with this payment, $750,000? I pulled it out of thin air. This is where this gets dangerous. This is where I want people that, okay, don't think that you can do this. This only took me 15 years to figure out. So don't try to do this. Don't pull numbers out of thin air.
even though you did.
I did.
But you know
but
how to
you
use
don't.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know how to structure it. Right.
So if you think about this, if you pay $750 a month, what is that total over the course of a year?
$750. Sorry. No. I can't do math in my head.
$9,000.
Okay.
Okay. $9,000. If you take $151,000 times 0.025, that's 2.5%, that would be $3,775. Okay. That would be what the interest would be. Where's the rest of the money going?
Towards principal pay down.
Yeah, so, and it's not exact, so don't try to figure this out. Like I said, don't worry about this offer. This is something I do that I've just figured out, okay?
Okay.
So, really, I've got like $5,000-ish going toward...
$225,000.
Yeah, going toward principal. So, I'm trying to get it paid down quickly. So, what my thought process is here is that... I might be able to still sell this to an investor just because of the principal pay down, that they'd create some equity on it. But most likely, I'm still going to be looking for an owner-occupant, in which case, I don't even need to pass this on to an owner-occupant. So maybe I'd want to stay in the middle of it, even though I'm probably making very little money on the monthly payment. I mean, like, very little. Like $50 or so. But I would get the difference in the principal pay down. So it might be something that I'd want to think about. But in my mind, even if I just want to wholesale this and wholesale it to an owner-occupant, do you think that they're going to be as price conscious as like people that know the market? That if we're offering this with terms to an owner-occupant, we're still going to be within that 175 range. So we're actually selling it for market value.
Right.
We can obviously get more. I mean, we're going to shoot for more than 10% on this one. What if I just pass these? I mean, could they get this kind of term, that interest?
No.
Not even close, right? No. They'd be at around 4, 4.25 right now is what, if they're a great... an A credit type buyer.
Applicant, yeah.
So, super good terms. And the reason that that's why I made this is to try to create a reason why that, you know, someone would want to buy it. Okay. So, these are the offers that I made. Don't worry. If you don't understand that, don't worry. Okay. But the last thing, don't start contacting me and say, Jeff said he could pull numbers out of thin air. Okay. Please don't do that. I'm begging you. Okay, stay with what makes sense. One day we'll do a video and I'll show you how to figure this out.
Okay? Perfect.
All right, so those are the offers that I made. Okay, I thought, wow, not bad for a property that...
You didn't think you could make much of a deal out of.
No, so I gave them to my acquisition manager. He called, he presented them, and are we still... do you want to cut this off or do you want to keep going?
Let's just keep it rolling. If we got to break it in two parts, we will.
Okay.
But, yeah, let's just keep it rolling.
All right. So, so my acquisition guy called him, and I think he misunderstood because the seller kept talking about option two, which is the seller subordination. But it wasn't that he was truly interested in the seller subordination. It was that he just was confused about it. So my acquisition guy thought he was more interested in that. So he's like, Jeff, I think, yeah, we've got something, and yeah, but he really needs a better explanation, and I'm having a hard time getting him to understand. Would you talk to him? I'm like, sure. So we got on the phone, and so I could have gotten on the phone and just said to him, hey, Mike, you know, I heard you had some questions. What are they? I got on the phone and I said, Mike, I understand you have some questions. I want to get to those, but I'm kind of new to this whole deal. So could you give me a little history of what's gone on? Like, how long have you owned these properties? What's been your experience? You know, I'm curious why. I mean, you live in California. You bought these in years ago when this particular city was basically nothing. You know, why you chose to do that. How has it been being a landlord, out-of-state landlord? Why do you think I'm asking these questions?
Find out what his pain points are.
Yeah. I want to know what's going on because no one's really done that at this point. So I want to know before I start like, hey, here's the answer to that question. Okay, are you ready to go?
Because there could potentially be a better offer or a better deal that you can get by finding out those pain points.
Well, and I want to understand what the situation is. So the only thing I've heard is that he doesn't want to be a landlord. Are there different degrees of not wanting to be a landlord?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mean, some are, I'd rather not be a landlord. Others are, I need to get rid of this house today because I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
So, so I asked these questions, and then I asked some further questions depending on his answers. And I quickly figured out that this guy's a pretty sophisticated seller, that he knows his stuff. And he basically told me that he had sold some property in California and wanted to put it into something, wanted a good return. He did some research. He found out that Utah, the income, what people's median income were, was higher than what property values were. So he felt like this would be a good long-term play, which is smart. And he invested in this particular area. I'm not exactly sure why, but I think he was thinking that there would be growth that would expand to this area and that he would hold it long enough to see some of that happen. So I quickly found out,
which he's kind of right.
Yeah, he is right. And so I quickly found out, like, hey, we are going to have a little different kind of conversation than normally because
he's analytical.
And he's more, well, just hold on, because, you know, when as we dive into this, he's even more analytical.
Okay.
So so I said, okay, Mike, so tell me, I understand that there was some interest in this particular scenario, but you had some questions. What are they? And he's like, oh, no, let me be clear. I don't think there's really any interest. I just really don't understand it, and I'd like to understand it before I just tell you no. I said, oh, okay. Well, tell me how you perceive this. And it was the subordination option. And what he thought is he didn't understand that we were going to pay off his loan. I'm not sure why he doesn't understand it, because in my LOI I say all proceeds will go to pay off underlying loan, and the balance of the proceeds will go to the seller. I think that's fairly self-explanatory. But for some reason, he had in his mind that we were going to borrow even in second position. So he'd have his loan, a new loan, and then the loan to him. So there'd be three. And I said, no. We're going to pay off your loan. The balance we're going to give to you. And at that point, he made it clear to me that I don't need this money. And I'm not worried about paying the taxes, although it wouldn't be terrible to spread it out over some time. But I don't need it. And, you know, I said, okay, great. And I tried to get an idea of had he had any experiences with tenants that weren't very good. And he did, they were like 4 or 5 years ago.
Did he have a management company?
He does.
Okay.
Yep. So we went through this subordination. I don't know if he's truly got it. I don't think that he was. Now, he was driving with his wife, and they were going to see his granddaughter play tennis, and they were confused where they were, and they couldn't find it. And I'm having this conversation with him the whole time. Now, he wasn't driving, but he wasn't totally engaged.
Yeah.
And I kept saying to him,
is there a better maybe time to call you?
Maybe we should do this another time. He's like, no, I'm fine. And I'm like, okay. And I kept giving him reasons to get off the phone. He wouldn't. Okay? So we talked about the subordination. And he's like, that's really the only one that I had any interest in. And I'm like, oh, how come? And he's like, well, and then he started looking. He's like, I can't take your cash offer. That's just too low. And I said, well, what do you think the property's worth, Mike? And he's like, I really don't know. And I'm like, so how do you know that that wouldn't work? And I said, let's think about this for a second. I think the property's worth $160,000. It's a rental. Have you done any upgrades? No. So it's pretty original, yes. Do we know what kind of condition it's in? He's like, no. So let's assume that it's in fair condition. It's a rental, right? He's like, yeah. So if you went and listed this right now on the MLS, so you went and hired a realtor, he's like, I don't like realtors. I'm like, okay, but let's just assume. Let's say that you went and listed it for $150,000, $145,000. I mean, wouldn't that make fair sense if it's worth $160,000, but, you know, not $160,000 is like totally updated, really nice kind of thing. Wouldn't it make more sense to list it as is for like $150,000, $145,000, somewhere in that range? He's like, yeah, I guess. So if you paid 6% commission, you're at about $138,000, $140,000. I said, we're going to pay your closing costs. You're going to have to pay your closing costs. I mean, we're probably $3,000-$4,000 away, and we can do this in, you know, 2-3 weeks if that's what you want. And you'd be done. So we're actually pretty close. And if you look at our second option, that we're right there, and we'll give you enough money up front to let you know that we're real, that you can trust us. He's like, well, I don't know if that's really the route that I'd want to go. Okay, so what's the route that you would want to go? Well, I looked at your option one. Okay, remember that option one is the one where it's the funky 2.5% simple interest kind of deal.
But it's like closer to full price, $158,000.
Yeah. But so he started talking about if I just keep it with a 3% appreciation, he'd done all these calculations already, and he'd say I would get this much. And if I could actually get 4% appreciation, with the interest that you're paying, you know, I come out a little bit ahead. And I said, okay, is that important to you? And I said, because if you keep it, you still have to deal with the potential, you know, you're not including any maintenance, any repairs, any issues. Yeah, but hey, your roofs are 20 years old. You could start having issues with them. Furnaces are 20 years old. So have you included any of that? And he's like, oh, that's a good point, Jeff. And I'm like, okay. I said, we were like just going around and around, right? I thought that I made some good points. I kept pushing, you know, but he just wasn't moving in the direction that I wanted. So what I like to do is when I'm not getting where I want to go, I just say, Mike, in an ideal world, what do you want? And I don't know that he really knows, but he started to have to think about it. And he's like, well, you know, but I guess if I just felt like I was getting more money on that option one, I'm like, so it's the interest rate that's bothering you? And he's like, well, I don't know if it's bothering me. And I'm like, so if I could work out where you felt like you were getting more market rate interest, is that something that would work for you? And he's like, well, I would look at it. And I said, well, what if I do this? What if I paid you 4, maybe even 4.5%? And I'd have to figure out the numbers. And while I'm on the phone, I'm doing so. And, you know, same price, same down payment, but I'll give you a higher interest. So all I did was I figured out we're still at the same numbers, 151,000. And I figured out 4% amortized over 30 years. That's 720.
Yep.
Okay. Or 4.5% was 765. So I could probably offer either one. I think that's within the realm. So I think I actually offered him 4.25, so somewhere in the middle. So his payment was pretty close. He's actually making about $200, well, $277. He's making a little more than he would as, you know, where it's at right now. But now he's getting 4%, 4.5% on his money. So this is where we left it. Now I'm just waiting. He'll probably get back to us today. But as soon as I brought this up, he said, you know, some realtor brought this up to me a few months ago. And immediately I probably knew who this person was. I'm in a mastermind with people that do creative financing here locally, and I know one particular realtor that likes to do this kind of stuff. And so I even asked, was it this person? And he said yes. And I said, okay, so why didn't you do it? And he's like, I just don't really want to work with a realtor. And I said, okay, so tell me what he told you about this. And he said to him, well, first of all, before I get into that, let me explain what I told him would happen here, okay? And then we'll wrap this up, right? So I told him, look, I can do this, but I'm not going to be the buyer. That's not going to happen, okay? I'm basically paying you full market value, maybe even more than the property. I'm going to give you basically market rate interest. We're going to do it for a 36-month term. And but I'm not living in it. I'm going to go find someone that's going to live in it. So I would need you to give me like 30 days to go find that owner-occupant. If I find them, great. I'll do all the work. I'll pre-screen them. I'll make sure that, you know, they're not an axe murderer, that they're not a serial credit issue, and that they have the appropriate down payment. You won't pay me. My buyer will pay me. And if you don't like what I'm doing after 30 days, fire me and I'll go away. And he's like, okay. Then we talked about the realtor. I said, what did the realtor offer you? He's like, well, you know, he said kind of the same thing. I'll get you this price. I'll get you some money. And I said, great. But he's charging a commission. You're going to have to pay 6% commission. He's like, yep. I'm like, I'm not going to charge you any. I'm getting paid by the buyer. He's like, oh. He's like, he also said that, hey, once I do this, that I will help coach you through this, and I'll help you if there's any issues. And I said, great, what's the coaching? Was there going to be a cost to it? And he's like, I never found out. And he said he was happy if the people defaulted, because we'd get to do it all over again. And I said to him, well, that's where we differ, because I don't want him to default. I'm going to protect you, but I want everyone to get what they want. And he's like, good, I want that too. So I said, but I can be your resource. If you have an issue, you call me. I'll either take over your position so you don't have to do anything, or I'll coach you through what you need to do. I don't want anything for it. We're just here. That's how we've left it. So now we're waiting on an answer, which I assume the answer will be yes. But do you see how by digging a little deeper, we got an idea of what he truly wanted, and we were able to change our offer just so slightly to make a difference here.
Right.
I mean, truly, I'm kind of surprised that it actually even needed to be changed, because really the only difference is what the balloon payment's going to be, and it's going to be probably $4,000 or $5,000 difference. It's kind of negligible, but hey, that's what you have to do in this business. You have to figure out what the issues are, dive deeper,
and solve the problem.
Bring them up, and yes, solve the problem.
Well, Jeff, I think you did an amazing job walking us through that conversation. These episodes are a great learning experience for me, myself. So I hope that our audience out there is following along. And if you can't, guys, go back, re-listen to this episode, because there's so much value in this. There's so much value running through the numbers like Jeff put me on the spot to do. And Jeff, just the way you think through the conversation, just figuring out what he wants, I mean, that is a skill set all on its own.
I think I think we should do an episode of maybe not creative finance, but how to talk to a seller. There's certain questions that you need in your toolbox, and you need to know, hey, when things get stuck, that we bring these out to try to further the conversation.
Yeah, like the example you used of, if I'm not getting anywhere, you just ask another question. In an ideal world, what would you want?
Yeah.
And then you take it from the top again.
Yeah. And if you're not familiar, I'm a big John Martinez fan in terms of sales. If you're not already listening to his stuff, you need to be. He does all kinds of free videos and 21-day challenge and whatever.
Does he do a podcast at all? Or
He's on podcasts. I don't think he does one himself.
But, okay.
Certainly worthwhile, because one of the things would have been certainly to say, I don't know if this is going to work. So maybe it sounds like this just isn't going to work for you, and kind of push him away a little bit.
Yeah, the takeaway.
See if he comes back. But that wasn't the issue. He didn't want to go away. I already knew that. I kept trying to get him off the phone, and he wouldn't go.
He wanted to understand.
Yeah.
Because he wants to make an informed decision. Because he probably is a more sophisticated investor, you talked about.
I told him, I said, and I don't remember dealing with a seller that's done this many calculations in probably the last 3 years, and I commend you. You've done your homework. And I'm okay with that. I just assume that he understand what we're trying to do, and that it's. And I told him I want it to be a win-win situation. If it's not, let's not do this.
Yeah, and I got to say, from my standpoint and my experience, for you to be able to do that, to have that conversation with him, Jeff, and to be able to put this deal together like that that is something to look up to. I mean, that amazes me, because I feel like there's so much skill in that. This is a deal I can tell you I would have lost a long time ago, because...
And this isn't a huge moneymaker, by the way.
I know. Mean,
best case scenario is that we're hoping to make $10,000 to $13,000 per each one. But I really think that they would be easy to sell. There's not much, even in this area, that you can buy at that price and have that kind of payment.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Guys, if you've gotten tons of value out of this, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We want to continue to grow this show, and we want more engagement from you guys. So we have a creative financing hotline that you can call. Leave your comments there if you have a question, if you want to know how to structure a deal, if you want to work with Jeff, whatever. Give us a call. We want to know what you guys want to hear on this show, so that we can continue to bring you the most valuable content. Any last words, Jeff, before I give out our phone number?
No, that's exactly right. Is that I Yeah, part of this, certainly this whole podcast was like your journey. So I ask you constantly, like, hey, what do you want, Jonathan? And what you say is, let's keep going over deals. And I know that that's helpful, but if there's certain things, marketing, negotiations, pre-screening, particular specific areas that people want covered, we're happy to do it.
Absolutely.
So, and yes, I do want to work with people. So if you have deals that you want us to put on the podcast, send them. If you have multifamily or apartments commercial that you want to work together, send them. So yes, I want to work with people all over the country.
For sure. Free coaching right there, and you can get paid doing it. So guys, you can reach us on our hotline, 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. That just goes to a voicemail, so you can leave your message there, or you can reach us on the web, www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And until next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.